podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is the Armchair Cricket Podcast.
Hello all. Welcome to another episode of Armchair Cricket Podcast, a podcast focusing on test cricket by armchair critics of the game. In this digest episode, I have a special guest, Rohit, joining me. So, hello Rohit, welcome to the Armchair Cricket Podcast.
Hey, hello all the audience of the podcast, and hi Ajit.
Rohit is a good friend. He plays for the same club I play in the Netherlands. So, I just wanted to give every one of our listeners a chance to, you know, get a glimpse of how the cricket scene is in the Netherlands and how the club cricket scene is. What's the difference between the amateur cricket league and probably a professional league? We have both kinds here. So Rohit plays in one of the professional cricket leagues with our club. So I just wanted to give an insight into how these things go here. So it's really nice to have you on the podcast, Rohit. So I think this is your first time. So I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to our podcast episodes before, and I don't know what you've thought about it.
No, absolutely. As a cricket enthusiast, I've heard your podcast before, and that's why I was also excited to be part of it. It's great information for people in Netherlands or outside to also know what this scene in cricket is, specifically Netherlands, is also overall. It's quite interesting, man. So I really enjoy it. I'm a cricket enthusiast, so I'm sure many enthusiasts relate with what I'm saying right now.
Indeed. So let's start off with when you caught the cricketing bug. Was it at a very young age or at a later age?
No, I think anybody in India, let's say most of the people in India, they catch this bug pretty early, at least as a viewer. And then when you progress in the school, you start playing, you know, for fun, and then you realize, okay, I want to spend more time with it. I don't want to do other activities. I want to do this activity more. And that's how I think when I was in class 6th or 7th, that's when I started playing it with my cricket coach in the school, which was a big thing at that time. I'm talking about 20 years back, having a coach to train you, show you how to hold a bat, show you how to run and these things. This was great. So I started in 7th and I became part of our team, school team at that time. Then it ended with the school. And then when I was in my 12th, preparing for my boards, then we got a chance to be part of the CBSC Zonals tournament, which is a tournament that CBSC organizes every year. And our school qualified, which was one of the only schools, along with many government schools, that qualified. Okay. So we felt, okay, we are better than many. We didn't win the tournament. We lost out on the semifinal. But that's where I really thought, now is the time that I can actually pursue my this activity as something more than just a game, but more as a passion. So I ended up going to the speedster contest in Delhi, clocked 125 at that time, which was, I thought I was much faster, but mine was 125. And the winner was 135, Abid, and he went to MRF Academy after that. So I knew that I was in the top, you know, not very slow. I was a decent pace bowler. And I ended up playing for North Zone, which is just a level below Ranji. And then, of course, being a middle-class family, you had to prioritize on your studies versus cricket. So I prioritized on my studies. I was getting a chance to go to UK to play against some clubs at that time when I was 18. But then I had to let it go. One, because of the expense, of course, and two, because of priorities being shifting towards studies and, you know, you have to excel. But yeah, the bug was always with me, although it was sleeping for some time. And then when I went to my MBA, we won tournaments. So I was always leading my team, always feeling amazing that this is something that I can do 24/7 and I'll still not get bored with it. And that's when I, cutting to my trip to Netherlands. Just before that, I went to Bangalore and I played for BCC, Bangalore Cricket Club, for my work, but they invited me, they actually paid me. That's the first time I got paid to play for a club. It was in 2009. So yeah, it was going well. And then 2010, I got a chance to come to Netherlands. So So my first 6-7 months, imagine coming from BCC and playing great cricket and then no cricket for 6 months, I always got a headache that what am I doing in this country? I'm missing cricket. And then one of club members met me in an Indian restaurant and just casual hi, hello. And then he said, hey, do you love playing cricket? And I said, wow, he's the blessing in disguise. He just came in. I said, of course, just tell me where I have to be. And that's when I got introduced to Kiwi. So I am now with Kiwi for almost 11 years with Kiwi. 2010, I think, was my first season. Or at least I joined the club in 2010. And I started at League 2. Then we moved to Ofa Khan. We moved to now S Class. And I'm very proud and happy to lead a bunch of really talented cricketers. I'm very happy that I know almost everybody, and we are almost 90 playing members, I think, in this club. And I know everybody, which is a great network in itself that you get exposed to. So, yeah, I think my journey has been very nice with Kiwi, starting from being 12th man for the first four matches to becoming a main bowler in 2014 to finally becoming a handy batsman and now leading the club as the team captain of Team 1 in S Class. It's a good journey. It's a great journey, I must say. Yeah.
Well, I mean, having played you in the nets and in the games, I think now you might beat 125. I think back then you must have been faster. And you bowl a heavy ball. At least this is my personal experience having played you, right? So in any case, look, some of those opportunities, they sometimes pass us by. We don't know if it's for the best or not, but apparently it is for the best, right? So you're enjoying your cricket here and you're still having a stable career on the side. So if you had pursued cricket full-time, God knows what would have happened. Maybe you wouldn't have had both. So you have the best of both the worlds, as it said, right?
I totally believe in destiny. I think destiny is driven something for good. So you're absolutely right. I feel that I'm doing I'm getting much more satisfaction now playing with in different conditions and having a stable background, my family with me, still able to play and maybe not spend those 8-10 hours I used to spend back then, but at least spend a couple of hours daily on my nets, on my knocking the bat, on my looking at videos, training myself. I think yes, that is a better satisfaction. But I know boys out there who really want to cut the race and get to the high levels in Indian cricket. But the things have gone so competitive. So I sometimes tell myself, okay, it's good what you have done, what you have achieved. You should be happy and proud and just keep on playing till the body doesn't give up.
Indeed. No, that's indeed. So you can always take satisfaction from the fact that in spite of having a full-time career, you're able to do enough with cricket. More than a hobby, it must be said, the way you said about it. Now, this was about you playing and you sort of, enjoying your cricket as a player. What about you enjoying cricket as a spectator? Do you have any specific teams or players you follow?
Oh, I'm a big buff, cricket buff. Any match, especially with Indian cricket, if it's happening, I'm definitely watching it live, even if it's late in the night, like the recently conducted series. I think one of the best series we have seen till date. But yeah, even if the match is for somebody, some other teams, maybe a BBL or in any other league, I definitely watch the highlights. I like to see how players can actually play those shots at 145K balls coming to them. I want to learn how do they do that. Maybe it's just practice, but it's something that I'd love to see. And also as bowlers, how do the same bowlers swing in both the sides? I like to zoom into the hand. So I'm a big cricket buff. I can actually watch cricket all day. Now my daughter doesn't allow me to do that because she's 2 year old and she's always hanging on to me. But I'm a big cricket buff. So any way of cricket, be it training, be it watching, be it playing, yeah, you'll see me in it. So I love to watch test cricket. I love to watch 2020 is more glamour for me, and I'm really, really in awe of test and one days. It clearly shows the strength of a batsman, the patience that they have to have to win games. It's I think it's a combination of everything. So, but yeah, any form of cricket, I'll watch it, to answer your question.
Great to hear. So speaking of that, I must say it's immortal, test series that just happened. I mean, I think my entire sleep cycle was upset because of having to watch it. You wouldn't miss it, right? So it's probably once in a lifetime for an Indian cricket fan to watch this sort of a series unfold, and the Indian team coming to grips with all the injuries, still growing from strength to strength. You know, in some other cricket podcast I heard as a joke, they said if there was one more test in this series, India wouldn't have had 11 people. They would have picked people from the crowd, but they would have still beaten Australia by an innings. The way they were growing in strength, it was something great to see. And the way the whole series ended, I mean, very rarely you see the last test of the series being the best, in spite of all the, you know, loss of personnel, all that. Those last few moments, I'll never forget it, because I remember the Monday, because it ended on a Monday. I can't even remember how the day went for me. Maybe it was lack of sleep, but maybe it was just the euphoria of the watching how it actually went for the win in the last 1 hour or so.
I think human nature is like that. We love to see David versus Goliath, and we want to see David win. Always. If you see any match and you see underdogs playing, be it Rajasthan Royals in the first IPL, or be this, I'm just, if I give examples, be it, you know, Kenya reaching a semi-finals in 2003 World Cup, it always gives you a feeling that, wow, something fair is happening. Something is helping these guys to do that well. And that's exactly what I felt when I could see India actually winning. We were hoping to draw it and retain the Gavaskar Trophy, Border Gavaskar Trophy. But winning it was, as you said, nobody could digest it. And it's just so happy moments. When I woke up in the morning, I told my wife, yeah, I just finished the match, India won. And she's like, okay. She's not that big a cricket enthusiast. But I was trying to share my happiness with people who don't care about cricket as well. So I think it's human nature. Anyone who wins from, you know, behind, be it a race, be it cricket, it's always, you know, liked by a human being. So I really loved the way. And even if it was the other way around, if Australia would have beaten India with a very weak team, maybe I would not have been that happy. But at least I would have really felt satisfied to watch a great game. That this is amazing. It's exactly what should have happened.
If you were to come back to the Netherlands cricketing scene, well, for somebody who went through the leagues, as you said, right, who went from the semi-professional to the fully professional leagues at the top two tiers.
Yeah.
Do you feel there is a big difference in the skill set as well as maybe the training regimens and other things that we take on when you go from, let's say, even the top amateur league to the bottom professional league? Do you see this big jump in difference in skill set or other things?
Because there are, I don't think skills is the biggest difference. I don't see that. I think there are two major differences which I see when I see players. Because I do go down and play some matches in the lower leagues as well every now and then. And the skills have really improved. What we used to face in League 3 or 2 back in the days, the skills are improving. So I don't think skills are a big miss. There are two things which I think are different. One is opportunity. So you see a new club which cannot start at the top league. Right, they have just risen up, so they have to start as we did from the low. And you see, wow, they deserve to be in the higher class the way they are playing. But because they have to win a league to reach to the higher league, they are still playing in the lower leagues. That is one. So, and two, you also see some very good players playing in a weaker team. They're amazing players. They deserve to play in the first class or at least Ofakhan. But they are playing in two because their team is overall not that strong. So cricket is team game. So you have to ensure the team goes up. And the next biggest difference is discipline. That is the biggest difference I feel when I see my team, Team 1, versus some other teams within the club and also outside, is that throughout the years, we have actually got that patience. We have also got that maturity of thinking about the team more than personal gains. That, okay, team understands the combination team gets behind the decisions versus some personal ambitions. And that is what makes a team win, I think, when you are taking your... So that is one big thing that you need to have if you want to go to that level. And two is discipline. So you need to come for training. You need to get prepared for much stronger players. Because as you know, Ajit, a lot of clubs, because they are financially pretty strong, they invite a lot of external players from outside. And for the last 3 years, we are number two, which is heartbreaking in the league, because the top team has three players from under 19 Pakistan, under 19 Australia. Now, at one side, I love it because I want to face that 140, 130K bowling coming to me. But the other way, it's kind of unfair to the Netherlands team, who is totally comprised of Netherlands players and has not got that much funds, or if I can say that, or that much opportunity to have invite 3 or 4 international players. So that's the way, that's when you start seeing the skill difference. Again, I reiterate, the skill difference is not among the Netherlands players, I feel. It starts to get different because there are external coaches that bring that extra edge. And that is what you need to win. As I said, we have been number 2 for the last 3 years. It's the worst position to be. You should be the number 1 or don't take it seriously. That's my motto. Either be number 1 or let it be. So, and I've been at number 2, which is for me very, you know, it's like the crown of thorns, if I can say that. That, okay, it is not a happy moment to end up at number 2. But yeah, we are trying our best. For example, we actually thank our club to give us that bowling machine because we wanted to practice against 140. But none of us were bowling. So to practice and play against a 140, you need to have a bowling machine that can bowl to you at 140. So we actually did that really well. And that's what helped us to beat some of the very big teams. Like, if I can say, maybe not taking names, there's a big club in Rotterdam, which has 3 under-19 Pakistan players. And we actually beat them. I was not even imagining that we beat them so easy. But because of our practice, because of our understanding of the game, that we need to come to that level. So we need that bowling machine, guys. Come on the nets. Let's have the bowling machine. Let's bowl to our main batsmen. So yeah, it all depends on your discipline, your reading of the game, your patience. That differs you from lower leagues. Because I have played under lower leagues, and I see the game plan is very short term. The game plan is very individual, that you need to make this player important or this player important. That will never work. You need to say that, hey, this is our objective. Who can contribute to it? Rather than a person saying, this is my objective, how a team can contribute to it. Absolutely not. It has to be team objective. I think that's the main difference. It's not the skill. I've played against much better players in League 2 or even in Ofakhang right now. They're amazing.
Right. Look, I mean, it's a very tough thing to accept that, you know, in spite of your best efforts, it's tough to not conquer the peak, to remain on the second position. But the way I look at it, in spite of all the disadvantages, in spite of having a regular life, 5 days, 6 days a week, where you take care of your work, your family, you're still able to compete, remain at second. And all it needs is the team at number 1 to have one slip. You're going to take over top spot. The way I look at it is, what you're doing for the club and as well for the team, that's fantastic. And that attitude, I think, is great to see. And look, there'll always be professional players, right? So there'll be people who will probably do this for a living, and they're like, they flit from team to team, and their skill set or their mentality is different, and they can do this 6 days a week. You can't. In spite of that, to see where the team is and continually competing every year, it's always very encouraging for the rest of us who play in the club. And we see what's happening, right? So it's always nice. I'm just giving you a perspective of somebody who's playing in a lower league, but seeing what happens.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I also tell my team that when we end up at second, that it's good we have ended up at second, because if you would have gone one step up ahead, maybe it's also to motivate them. It would have been very difficult to survive there, because there are certain requirements you need to have when you are in Hofklasse. The ground situation, the number of 12th man you need, additional players, number of scorers you need to accompany with you. So there are a lot of preparations we need to do as a club and as a team to have that ready when we go to HK. And fitness. Like, I see myself, I'm at least at 30% of my fitness I was 10 years back. Because of whatever reason, we do a sitting job, we got married, we don't train every day as we used to. Priorities have changed. Keeping that in mind, if I see my player coming and thrashing someone who is playing for Australia for sixes, like back-to-back, it wasn't... Some games, you know, are inscribed in your mind. So these games, when you hit a person who is in a very international level, and we are now just taking him for a ride in the match, he also knows, my God, if these guys were fit, I will not stand a chance. He gets a reality check. That's my experience, Ajit. Whenever an international player comes to Netherlands, his first feeling is, it's Netherlands. How difficult it can be. But when he goes back, he wants to come back. Because I personally feel Netherlands players have that much potential, a bit of more backing. I think we can reach much higher levels. And it is improving. I see Ryan Campbell becoming the coach of Netherlands, you know, giving chances to youngsters to perform. They're doing well. But I think more backing will like in India. I think Netherlands is where India was in 1990s, let's say, in cricket. It needs a 1996 Sharjah or 1998 Sharjah to give that punch and say, okay, guys, wow, this is what we can do to the world. I'm just waiting for that, because Netherlands has gone with sparks of brilliance. You know that we have beaten England, have beaten Pakistan. We have had our matches where we have won against quite big teams. Even India, Netherlands was about to beat India at one. We just got saved, if I can say that. But that is where I feel that Netherlands need a bit of more push, a bit of more inclusion, if I can say that. Like now I am naturalized Dutch. Next year I want to go for the trials personally. So I want to see that open window for, hey, people come for trials. We don't have a set of clubs that are being picked up from. We should open it up and say, okay, come, bowlers, you need trials. Come and give your trials. That's when you will see the real cream come out. You will see how Kapil Dev came out in India. You will see how Inzamam came out for Pakistan. He was playing in a street, and the captain looked at him and said, come and ball to me in the nets. If you read, you will realize that gems are sitting somewhere, not inside an ivory tower. They're sitting around the ivory tower. You need to go out and pick them. So that is something I really feel Netherlands should work on. So there is a team which is getting built, but at the same time, there should be scouts outside that should go and watch at least earth class matches and above and say, okay, my God, this guy, if he's in the team, he'll be a bit differentiated. I think that is something that Netherlands cricket should invest on. And then you will see this team will definitely be at par, if not better, than many other teams. You see Bangladesh, how it has come up. It has just started to beat big teams. Like every now and then they're beating big teams. Just because they are investing in players sitting outside and going and scouting them in. That is something that I see Netherlands should work on.
Indeed. Now, that's a good summary of maybe the change in direction as well, as far as the Dutch. Let's say the way they pick their players, they could also choose from, as you say, really good players who play in the top professional leagues. Just maybe give them a chance. It's about also the mindset, right? So these players that they choose to prefer probably have a specific training regimen mindset. So this can also be inculcated into players who already have the skills, who have already come to the top leagues through their own hard work, and they can be indeed given a chance to go further. That's indeed something. I hope Mr. Campbell is listening. Maybe he can pick up a tip or two here.
I must give a kudos to Netherlands cricket for the girls, for the women cricket. That's where they are actually picking up great talent. And I think that's where we should learn from the other gender, that how we can, you know, find good talents from different clubs. And so in that way, I feel Netherlands has taken a very good step, which is women cricket. I think similar steps or similar improvements, if we can bring to our, because we have to ask ourselves, why is it that Netherlands is not in the World Cup teams anymore? Yeah. Is it we're not investing or we're not giving chances? What is the reason? That question needs to be asked. And I'm sure Ryan Campbell sitting somewhere is thinking about it. That's his KPI. I'm sure he will think about a way to get to a next level. And I'm just waiting where we as Dutch people now, origin from India, can actually help Netherlands to reach other heights.
Yeah, good thought. Now, going back to another topic we wanted to have a chat on, I understand you're the bat specialist in the club, right? You have a theory, you have some practical knowledge. Whenever we have a chat, I always walk away picking up a couple of useful things about how a bat should be. What are the things I can look forward to when I use a bat? When I pick up a bat, how do I see if it's a good bat or not? So would you like to shed some more light on this? And maybe you have some thoughts on maybe the next level as well. Would you like to go into it?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for picking the point. I'll not call myself bat specialist. It's the experience that you gain when you've played with, at one time, a Kashmir willow, again, a very good willow, to English willow now, which is very accessible to us because our purchasing power has improved. We are actually buying expensive bats. But I think what I have noticed is that there is a different perception in minds of the batsmen I meet when they pick up a bat. And they end up paying so much for a bat which they can easily, you know, procure from a different place, much cheaper, much better. Because people don't understand the basics. Like if I ask anybody right now, even if I ask you, how do you differ between a Kashmir willow and English willow? You'll not be able to answer it correctly. I'm not doubting your intelligence, but I know I was not able to. identify that, hey, because I used to play with Kashmiri Willow, I've hit sixes long enough with that. I now play with English Willow, I hit them equally well. So what is the big difference that differentiates between the two wood? So these kind of questions keep popping up in my mind. Also, grains, very overhyped phenomena. Hey, I need 10 grains, I need straight grains. And so, and when people were showing me their bat, that, hey, Rohit Bhai, see, I've got this new bat and it looks amazing. And I said, my God, the first thing he tells me, it looks amazing. So the aesthetics is more important in his mind. Then I said, okay, show it to me. And when I pinged it, when I put a ball to it, I said, okay, how much did you pay for it? And when he says 30,000 rupees or 300, 400 euros, I'm like shocked. I said, wow, my God, you have a lot of money in your pocket to pay. So when I pick up my bats, I'm personally not looking at grains, number of grains, color, it should be clean. People don't know, Ajit, the very basic thing. When you make a bat, you pick up a tree, the English willow tree, and from the same tree, grade one bat also comes, grade two bat also comes, and grade three bat also comes. From the same tree. So the wood is exactly the same. The ping is exactly the same. The performance is exactly the same. The only difference in grade one, grade two, or grade three for that specific wood will be its aesthetics. So grade one will be the middle part of the tree, which has no water touched, so it will be white. Mm-hmm. And grade two and three will be slightly outer parts of the tree, which will have water marks. But the wood is same. It will ping the ball exactly the same. So if I look at my best performing bat right now, it's Spartan MSG Run, which is a 4,500 rupees bat.
Right.
Which is 50 euros, 60 euros bat, which I got from India because I handpicked them. I don't want to... I've tried online. It's good because there's experts sitting behind, but then they also try to sell you something which you want to hear. See these grains, see the looks.
Of course.
I think the biggest thing that matters is ping and punch. So I was having these questions a lot for the last 2 years in my mind, that why are people spending so much money? Why did I spend up so much money buying a SS World 2 bat for 15,000 rupees? I could have got a better bat for 10,000 rupees. So that's the reason I thought about why shouldn't I, bring my experience in cricket, my knowledge of having right now 8 bats with me, my personal bats, and behind 50 bats I've been using, along with my market research skills. So what I did a survey with about 150 cricketers in the Netherlands, and I just wanted to know, ask them what matters to you. And that's when I realized, okay, these are the 5 things as a batsman that matters to you, not when you're buying. These things were going in my mind for the last 2-3 years, that people are focusing on not the right things when they're buying their stuff in cricket. So I thought, why not combine my experience with my current set of bats, along with my market research skills, which is my job, to come up with something which can tell a player, this is what matters. And that's where the phenomenon of 5 factors came in. 5 factors is a brand that I chose for myself, is something that will assess any product on 5 important factors. So that's how I started. I did a survey with 150 players in the Netherlands. I got to know, okay, these are the 5 factors which should matter the most. And to be honest, aesthetics is something which is not that important. I had interviews with J.S. Wright & Sons. I had interviews with suppliers in India, suppliers in UK, suppliers in Pakistan. That what do you say when you say grade one, grade two, grade three? Nobody knows. If you ask any amateur cricketer, hey, what do you think is different between grade one and grade two? I don't think anybody can tangibly tell you this is a difference. They say, it's a bit better. Of course, it's one and two, one is better. But what is the difference that you end up paying that much money? So after this, I came up with, okay, these are the 5 factors, guys. This is what I'll focus on. And every product will have its own 5 factor, but it will not be more than 5 factor. So that's the start of the journey of 5 factors. And first thing that I looked was into bats, because that is my biggest experience. Cricket is the largest experience sport. So I thought, let's start with cricket. Let's start to bring cricket bats as the first product. And then I found very good suppliers in India who are supplying to big brands. I'll not name them. But they are supplying to big brands, because every big brand doesn't have a factory. They are actually ordering into some local manufacturers in Jalandhar or Meerut, and then putting their stickers on and selling it for 10 times the price. So yeah. I was pretty much willing to remove that middle path. Why should I go to a big brand and buy something for 20 and I can buy something for 10, just going directly to my supplier? So that's the reason I chose this path. I spoke to about 20 suppliers, asked them for videos, asked them for knowledge, how much they know about cricket bats. And one thing I got from them is that, Rohit, grade one, grade two, grade three, there might be minor differences, but it's more about marketing. It's more about how you sell the product. So yes, there are differences in terms of durability, but it doesn't give you the feeling that you should pay that much high. So after speaking to 20 suppliers, interviewing them, getting to the survey, that's when I started my first set of bats. And I must thank my first two, three customers who immediately picked it up because they trust me, just my feelings of cricket bats. They immediately came to me and said, Rohit, I want to buy this one. And I gave it to them. And they're very happy. The same bat, if they would have bought for a bigger brand, must be 30, 40% higher in price. And maybe not even that durable. Because on this, I put my name behind. I put my experience behind. And now we are working with them to bring up cricket balls because that's one of the reasons Netherlands cricket is suffering or has suffered in the past is the weather. Because the conditions are so wet, you don't get the right quality of cricket balls. They get damped. Or if you get the right quality, they are so expensive. For example, the ball that we play with S-Class is per piece 30 euros, if I'm not wrong, roughly.
Yeah.
It's too expensive. So I thought, okay, let me bring the cricket balls also to the forum. Again, waterproofed quality of 100 overs to the Netherlands fraternity and see how it goes. I normally don't call it as a business for me because it is not something that I want to earn money from. It's more I want to get attached to cricket even after I stop playing. So I want to get closer to cricket any way I can, be it by giving good products, be it playing with those products or playing anyways. I just thought this is something that is the right time to look into. And that's where this thought and this venture has started.
Wow. I mean, very nice to hear, the steps you took and you've begun the journey. So as a friend and as a clubmate, my best wishes going forward. And who knows, in a couple of months, I would come to you with a request of my own. Both my bats last season broke. So we'll see. We'll have a chat about it in one of the upcoming days, no doubt. So it's still very nice to see that you have this enthusiasm to be attached to the game. And then, as you say, maybe after your playing days are over, you're still going to be in touch with players in one form or the other because you have this new venture of yours. All the best going forward and wish you all the success with your new venture.
That's great. Thanks. Thanks a lot, Ajit. Thanks for all your kind words. Looking forward to help everyone as much as I can to get the right product and not just get into brand film frenzy and just get lost.
Indeed. Well, at the end of the day, what you said rang true with me that it's not about how it looks and how well it's been marketed to you, but it's about what it can actually do and how long it lasts in your hand. This should be the core belief in most of us when we go to purchase, but it's not that black and white. I remember I'd bought a 5 euro gloves from a army surplus store, which ran for 3 years. It was leather. They were probably slightly mismatched in color, but I remember that not even a stitch came off. It was 5 euros. So it rings true what you said, right? It has been a very nice chat, Rohit. I see you have a lot to offer, not just with respect to your experiences in Dutch cricket and with your new venture, but I think it's a great thing that if possible, we can have you again as a guest in one of our upcoming episodes where we talk through the cricket of the week or something, and I'll plan something. It's very nice to have a chat.
I love to be part of this discussion. As I said, any form of discussion, watching, listening to cricket, I'm up for it. So please feel free to invite me for any discussions around cricket and I'll be happy to be there, Ajit.
Would you like to give a shout out about your brand, how people who are interested in buying bats from you would be able to reach out to you?
Yeah, so as I said, I've not yet fully launched it like professionally. It is on Facebook and exposed to some of my Facebook fraternity only. So right now you can reach out to me directly for any request through WhatsApp, through Facebook. It's on my Facebook page. And then, yeah, we can discuss. And right now, as I said, we have two products there, which is cricket bats and balls for different grades. Next product is gloves that I'm looking at. Again, high quality gloves that I want to bring in. That is the way people can reach out to me. And of course, if they are bulk order, it is always better because then you're able to deliver in one go, and shipment really is a big cost to these products when you bring it from India. And then if a club needs it, in a big format, definitely everything can be invoiced, and whenever the players need it, yeah, they can reach out to me personally, invoice, and everything can be made available formally as well. Right now, it's getting set up. As I said, first three bats are sold out of the first six, which is a great achievement for me. I didn't expect it. I thought I would have to really market myself, but thankfully, players trust. At least those three players trusted my credibility, and they landed up on my door. That, hey, we need your bat, and that way, yeah. Please feel free to reach out.
So, all right. Thanks for a wonderful chat, Rohit, and I wish you a success going forward with your venture, and also a great day ahead. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ajit. Have a nice day. Take care. Thank you, everyone, for listening in. Bye bye.
This is the Armchair Cricket Podcast.